Good morning. What a wonderfully motley bunch are the 2-0 teams, defying forecast and prediction and doom saying alike. Much time will be dedicated to the 0-2s, primarily Essendon and Melbourne, who face differing challenges on a similar theme. The Demons in a test to hold their nerve, and the Bombers with the task of holding the club together. But if seasons are built on hope and belief, that is embodied in the five left standing after the opening two rounds. No team endured greater misstep or misfortune in the build-up to the season than St Kilda. No team carried greater queries than the Western Bulldogs after a pair of JLT losses. No team put more faith in youth than Port Adelaide after the alternative had failed. No team faced up to its shortcomings so completely as Geelong. And no team carried more neutral goodwill than the Brisbane Lions. Few teams might be as fun to watch. So by whatever path they got to 2-0, it was all rather thrilling.
He launches inside the 50. One of the great marks! He flew and he hung! He balanced perfectly on the back and pulls down a screamer!
Alan Richardson can savour the last moment of this Saturday night. Against all expectations,
good win.
The Saints are 2-0.
Motlop dances around one and puts an exclamation mark on it. Beautiful individual effort and team effort.
Picked off by Clark, the young speedster. He takes a bounce, his eyes light up. He does the unselfish thing over the top to Hawkins. He probably deserves a goal himself. Hawkins gives him the gift and he rams it home.
Wasn't that good?
Lockie Neal and Lincoln McCarthy, and they're going to sing the Lions song for the second time. McCarthy's got a pair, and so do the Lions.
Tell you what, this kick looks very good off the boot. That is a cracking goal. Charlie's got four, and the Lions have got a little bit more respect from the league now. Last week was no fluke, they say, and they take a big scalp in Melbourne.
Dixon front and centre, arriving McRae, gathers, goals! Dead level at 87 apiece. The Western Bulldogs have come from nowhere.
Liberatore
snaps, goals! Some magic from Liber.
The 2-0s, what a bunch they are. David King will run the Monday means test. We'll open the lines 1300 736 736, with no shortage of incident and accident to talk about from round two. But let's start with the Brisbane Lions, who went 2-0 yesterday in rather thrilling circumstances in the back half of the last quarter. And the coach, Chris Fagan, is with me. Chris, welcome back to SEN.
Good morning, Jared.
There's a photo rather beautifully capturing you in the song in this morning's paper, Chris. Wholehearted and swept away at it all is what are early season wins worth to the Lions?
Yeah, I mean I was really proud of the team yesterday. It was a difficult game. It had lots of ebbs and flows to it, and we found a way to endure, which is, you know, when you're the coach of the team, you feel pretty proud of the players when they're able to do that, because, you know, there were times last year when we were in those sorts of games and we couldn't get over the line. So I was just really happy for them.
What does it tell you about the maturing, the development of your players?
Oh, well, it's only a small sample, but it appears as if we've developed a little bit more resilience and grit to fight through those games. And often you've got to go through that process of losing a lot of close games to sort of start to learn to win them. So, hopefully that's a good sign for us for the future.
Have you watched much of it back yet?
Yeah, I've watched it all.
Yep. What did you want to see? What were you eager to look at first?
I wanted to know why we had 66 inside 50 entries and why we didn't get a few more scoring shots.
Yes,
I think that was the coach bit coming out in me. But then I wanted to look at our composure when we got under pressure in that last quarter. You know, we got in front and then North got back in front and then we got back in front and then North got back to within a point, and it was must have been an exciting game for people to watch. So I wanted to see how we stood up in those circumstances, and I thought we kept cool heads, and I was really proud of particularly our midfielders in at the centre bounce. They just, you know, won the critical ball and were able to send it forward, and we scored from those entries.
So in the aftermath, Brad Scott described it as a different game with the capacity to score from the centre bounce with the way the setups are now. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I didn't realise it until after the game, looked at the stats and noticed we kicked 7 goals from our clearances, which is an outstanding effort. So, yeah, it is. I mean, the centre bounce is huge in the game now. I think it's a good thing. Sometimes you win them, sometimes you lose them, but it adds to the excitement, I think, particularly in close games. You know, the centre bounce can be critical in the end results, so big tick to the AFL for making that move.
Do you feel well stocked for that to be a real strength of yours?
It's difficult to say. It depends on the teams that you play against, but we do have quite a few midfielders who are really quick at getting onto the loose ball. You know, guys like Zorko and Lachie Neal are pretty good centre bounce players, and if they've got a little bit more space to work in, they can exercise their craft even more. So we probably have got a few that are handy in that scenario.
Once you start to see it, Chris, is it the sort of thing that you go, actually, let's really keep working on this and working on this and get as much as is possible from it?
Yeah, I mean, we've worked really hard on it over the pre-season, to be honest. And our players, our centre bounce crew, every Thursday night at the end of training, spend another 15, 20 minutes on just practicing their setups, because they can see that if you can do well there, it's such an advantage. So our players have fully embraced it and understand the importance of it.
And individually, Lachie Neal's working out, isn't he?
Yeah, he played an amazing game yesterday. His ability to lift the team when it needed to be lifted, those last few minutes, he was pretty active in at the centre bounces and around the contests. And, he's been a great acquisition for us in lots of different ways. He obviously, as a player, but as a leader as well, he's been shining.
Is he even more than you thought you were bringing in?
I got to know Lachie pretty well over the process of him coming to the club. Spent a bit of time with him, and I figured that he was more than just a good player at that point in time, but certainly he probably has even exceeded those expectations, probably more so from his ability to fit in so quickly. And I don't think that's easy when a new player comes to a club, but he's been able to do that, as have Jared Lyons and Link McCarthy, and I think in time, once Marcus Adams overcomes his injuries, he will as well.
Is Neil... will he force his way into the conversation in the best handful of midfielders in the competition, do you think, Chris?
I would have thought that he was already in that conversation last year. I mean, if you look at champion data player rankings, I think he's in the top 15 players in the competition in terms of the statistical side of the game. And the thing about him is he's a ball winner, but he also puts on pressure. I mean, yesterday he had 40-odd touches, but he had, I think, 6 tackles as well. So, he participates in all facets of the game, and, you know, he certainly deserves to be in that conversation on the small sample that we've seen this year, but also on his past block of work with Fremantle.
What about Lincoln McCarthy? What do you see in him?
Oh, I see a player with untapped potential, and that's not a criticism of Geelong at all. He was just injured a lot at Geelong and wasn't able to get to the line as often as they certainly would have liked. And I think they let him go with reluctance. And, you know, we've had he's had a great pre-season so far and has been able to play the practice games. And in the first two games, he's been a player of real influence. He doesn't need to get a lot of the ball to make a difference. And the other side to his game is he's a great pressure player as well and a great team man.
In combination with Charlie Cameron, he gives you a dangerous look up front.
Yeah, and you throw Cam Rayner into that mix as well, and Zorko's up there a bit. They're all capable of hitting the scoreboard, and they have done the first couple of weeks. You know, we've got a really good contribution from our smalls, and really that's been on the back of some great work by our taller players, to be honest. They've been able to bring the ball to ground and put those blokes in the picture.
So this is a team that 2-0 the last time was in 2010, and the club's endured sort of horror starts in the last handful of seasons. When the players come in today or next time you see them, what do you think it will do for them?
It'll give them more belief and more confidence in what they're doing. I mean, that's been growing for a little while now, but the wins against the good sides or the wins on the road in adverse situations, they always build belief. So there's no doubt they'll have a spring in their step. But the reality of this competition is in 5 days' time now, we've got to play Port Adelaide, who are undefeated as well. So we've got to move on pretty quickly. That's the key to it in this game. You can't celebrate wins or mourn losses for too long. You just got to get on with it.
David Noble in the trade period describes where you were coming into as phase two. Does it give you sort of that active sense as can you lift the horizons or have the horizons already lifted?
Oh, look, I think the key to raising the horizons is what the players actually think that they can do, what they believe that they can do. And there's been a real belief and a real purpose in the group over the pre-season. They believe that they can climb up the ladder. We don't quite know how far, but we do feel we're in a better position to be a way more competitive team. And if the players believe that, then that's half the battle. It's no good if us coaches think it or our board. It's what the players believe they can do. And there's been a real belief over the summer that that's a possibility for us.
So is that for the leaders to harness themselves?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the leaders drive the standards, but I would also say it's our young blokes. You know, they guys like McCluggage and Berry and Witherden and Cam Rayner and Zach Bailey, you know, they're developing confidence as AFL players and they feel like they can compete physically and mentally now, they're driving the group as much as our leaders.
Broadly, Chris, have you been able to take in much footy other than your own couple of games in the first 2 weeks?
Oh, no, watch most games, yep. I think. Somehow I've managed that.
What have you thought?
I think this season looks like it's going to be a little bit more unpredictable than the previous ones. It's crazy at the moment, but it's great for the game and the supporters and people who love AFL football. So, I think anything could happen this year. And, you know, there's always this banter that if you're 0-2 at this point in time, it's nearly impossible to make finals. Well, I reckon that's going to be the case this year. I reckon teams are going to have runs of form and anything could happen.
And the style of the game?
Style of the game. It's all very different. Different teams play different ways, and you know most teams have got their own unique way of going about it. I don't think there's any great change in the game. Maybe a few more uncontested marks from teams, sort of copying the premiers from last year, West Coast Eagles. That's been a big trend. I mean, you look at that game on Thursday night, Collingwood and Richmond, and it was a world record number of uncontested marks by Collingwood. It was incredible. So maybe the game might trend a little way in that fashion.
And then in some of what was being attempted by the competition committee is, did you, I'm not sure whether you would have seen the free kicks from the Hawthorn game yesterday, but sort of the clampdown and trying to remove the nonsense from the game, so elbows and fists and how that manifested yesterday. Have you seen much evidence of that so far?
Yeah, look, I think what's going to happen, obviously there's been quite a few free kicks. There are a few in our game yesterday as well. And, you know, we gave away some 50s from being a little bit late on a few of those things. So, we've got to adapt. I mean, it's a clear mandate from the AFL, and players have just got to show more discipline in those situations. Otherwise, teams are going to pay the price, and ultimately, it might cost a team a game. So I didn't see the Bulldogs Hawthorn game yesterday. I sort of heard someone talk about some decisions, but the bottom line is you can't do it anymore. So players got to learn. Stop.
So if the umpires in the AFL held the line for 2 or 3 weeks, you think the players would make the adjustment?
Always do. Yeah. The players, they're pretty smart. I think AFL should hold their line.
All right. So, round three shapes up well, doesn't it? A game at the Gabba with two unbeaten teams. Is Are you a chance to sort of galvanise some of Brisbane to your back?
Oh, well, you know, we certainly, in the game up here against West Coast, our fans were loud and involved in the game, and hopefully that will inspire a few more to come along and watch us on Saturday night. We had magnificent support yesterday, I thought, in Melbourne. The crowd was surprisingly loud for our boys when things started to roll our way. So, you know, yeah, hopefully, you know, our fans will get behind us and maybe our membership might grow on the back of some good form. We need to keep it going, obviously, to make sure that it is genuine. We expect great support at the Gabba on Saturday night.
I reckon you'll get it. Good on you, Chris, and well done on the start of the season.
Thanks very much, Jared. Cheers, mate.
Chris Fagan, the Brisbane Lions coach, one of the five teams who are 2-0, and aren't there some stories to be told in that against a lot of expectations? 1-300-736-736 to have your say. The Brisbane Lions Hall of Fame evening will be held after the round 12 game against Carlton here in Melbourne. That game will see the players wear the themed Guernseys honouring Kevin Murray. So it'll be quite the occasion and the Hall of Fame in the aftermath of that. Call 1-800-216-885 for more details. The Brisbane Lions Hall of Fame evening. So the woes of Essendon and Melbourne to balance up what's going on at the top of the ladder. Melbourne, they're not physically ready. Their preseason was awful and we're seeing the toll of that. Injuries, surgeries, rehab, the late return after the prelim, which was something foreign to them. 3 weeks with the Christmas break, restricted numbers on the track, no rhythm, no flow. And that's what we're seeing. They've got to hang in there through the first five rounds, I reckon, at 0-2 and keep the maths manageable. And that means scrounging out results against Essendon and Sydney and St Kilda, or at least a couple of them. Essendon, that's a bit different. The unrest that's clearly boiling, it's an awful sight, I reckon, when fans turn on their team as it leaves the field and the throwing of the scarf. That image from Saturday was pretty horrid. There's a critical mass of Essendon people who clearly don't believe in John Worsfold, and that's going to be a challenge for the club itself to manage. Worsfold's job is to get the Bombers to play like a team. And we saw this as the marker in the first eight rounds last year before it was resolved too late and they went on their run. It's got to be resolved now. That first quarter, as a response to what happened in the first round, was patently worse, and everyone sitting at Marvel knew it. 1-300-736-736. Jason's in Beaconsfield Upper. Hello, Jason.
G'day, Jared. How are you, mate?
Very well.
That's a lie. Very happy Lions supporter here. Just in regards to the game yesterday, just the crowd. They had 23,000 there yesterday, and without a doubt, there was 10,000 Lions supporters there. I was actually sitting in Medallion Club, and I walked downstairs at halftime because the atmosphere that you could hear in the ground just from that end of the ground was fantastic. But my concern is the North Melbourne supporters. Where were they? You know, if there's 10,000 Lions supporters there, why didn't they turn up to see their team play a game that, you know, really that they had a fair chance of winning? And I just thought it was pretty disappointing on their part. You know, it was good for us. We rocked it out. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on with their supporters. They're a fickle bunch then.
Can you feel it building for the Lions, Jason?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not over analysing anything, but just as Chris was saying, the resilience of the players that they've got this year is a stark difference to the last couple of years where we would have crumbled and fallen away, but they just kept going and kept going and kept going, and you know, that's, you know, testament to, I suppose, the coaching staff and everyone up there.
And the start of the season is worth so much to a team on the rise, as you can absolutely convince yourself of something and harness that momentum. Good on you, Jason. More of your calls after the break. David and Andrew, 1-300-736-736. The AFLW Grand Final. Incredible scenes. In our house, it was absolutely captivating. I wonder how you experienced it. 1-300-736-736. David King coming up shortly with the Monday Means Test.